and welcome to the Vineyard Church Springbrook podcast from right here in Alcoa, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week and the occasional special announcement or series. You can visit vineyardchurch.us and select Springbrook from the menu to learn more about us or to access our audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Extended peace passing for a season where we need peace. Hey, Dusty, Chris is going to be up here with me, and he has the drum mic. If that helps you. If not, we can share one. Hey, we've got one more thing for you. Oh, hey.
Hey. It's working now. Thank you, Dusty.
I say this a lot, but just when you think we couldn't possibly have any more announcements, we do still have announcements. But Chris has got some exciting stuff happening. You got anything going on this week?
Yeah, so my wife this week is having our first child.
Woo!
We're really excited about it and nervous and all of the things, so...
So pray for Hannah, pray for Chris, pray for baby boy. We did some prayer this morning, but keep praying for them, for safety and all the things.
Yeah.
You got anything else going on?
Yeah, so a lot of stuff moving really fast. With that, I'm going to be going on to paternity leave for the next few weeks. And while that's happening, I'm actually going to be transitioning to an art teacher job at Culture Grove Intermediate School. That I'm really excited about. I'm just excited. Whenever I was approached about this job and even interviewing for this job, I was asked what my dream job would be if I were doing anything else, and it was that I would be teaching art. Lindsay was for this. Whenever I told her about the opening, she was like, you have to do it. So I'm really excited. Lindsay was one of my references for the job, so... I feel really supported by her in the decision, and I'm excited about it. I think it's important for you guys to know, though, that I called this place my church before I had a job here, and I love you guys, and the relationships that I've built with y'all aren't going anywhere just because I'm taking a job across town. So, yeah.
You need people to change diapers and do stuff like that more than ever, I guess.
It's gonna be crazy.
Have a practice here, I have a personal practice that like I would never get in the way of someone God doing something in someone's life. And so Chris isn't kidding. Like he sat me down. This has been really fast. It was like 2 weeks ago. He was like, I got approached for this job. What do I do? And I went back to, I don't know, 10, 12 years previously where Chris and Taylor Belisle and I sat on the floor of my kitchen and had a conversation where Chris was like, the dream of my life is to become an art teacher. And like he said, in his interview process for this job, I think Johnny asked, what would you do if you could do anything other than ministry? And he was like, well, my dream job's ministry. My other dream job's teaching art.
Yeah.
And so as hard as it is to lose someone on staff that you love and adore and love working with and all of those things, it's also hard to look someone that you love and adore in the eye and be like, nah, don't do your dream. You know, like don't. You should not, you know, like that it feels crazy. And so I'm excited for you. I'm sad for us and excited for you.
Yeah, it has moved very quickly. So
with that in mind, if you're wondering, what are we going to do here at Springbrook? I don't know. We found out on Friday. You found out on Friday. We found out on Friday. Yeah. I don't know. The good news for us is that we're in a season of transition as it is. We're becoming our own autonomous location. There was shifting and moving around kind of our behind the scenes with employees and things like that. And so it really feels like, no time is a great time, but if there was a good time, it's a good time. And so I, as excited as I am for you, I am excited for us and what this could open up or mean. And
yeah, and I'm not moving away like Chad did to you guys. So at least
I'll
still be here.
Chad's rude.
Text me, call me.
I'll come forever.
After a few weeks, after we have this baby. So yeah.
Okay, well, we are going to be around. You can ask any questions that you have for Chris or myself. I mean, you know, he's probably not going to answer all birthing questions, but
I don't know the answer to all birthing questions.
Other than that, we're around. And I want to pray for you, and then will you read our scripture?
Yeah, sure.
More praying, I like today. Okay, we're going to pray. So, again, if you want to stretch out your hand, you can. So, God, we thank you for Chris. I love him, and you love him. And I'm proud of him, and I just thank you that every once in a while, you make dreams come true. And in the last year, you've done that twice. And so, three times, he has a baby, too. So, we just thank you and praise you for that. And so I just pray for he and Hannah this week that you would be near to them in birth, that you would be near to their baby, that you would protect them at every turn. And then we pray the same. We ask your blessing on Chris. We love him. We love, love, love him here. But we bless him to be you in a school that we also love. I thank you that you go with him and that he takes a part of us with him. And so we love and bless him. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Love you. Oh, sorry. I'm going to trip you because you're leaving.
All right, I've got our scripture reading today, and then Aaron is preaching, so that's exciting. Our scripture reading today is Psalm. Where's it? Okay, Psalm 121. Sorry, guys. Let's see. Okay, Psalm 121. I was about to read the call to worship again. We already did that. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Wow. Hey, thanks, Chris. Yeah, I titled my whole message Psalm 121 because I'm very creative. So that's on top of the call to worship. So it is my fault that that happened. I'm very, very sorry. Hey, I'm glad to be here with y'all today. If there's anything you should really know about me, if we're all going to be friends, is that I am not a wilderness kind of person. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the outside if it's a good temperature and there are no bugs and there's a place to sit. I love a paved path. I love to do that. And maybe you can assume a lot of things about me from this, and they are all true. My name is Erin, if you don't know me. I'm one of the pastors here. And a few years ago, I went on a girls' trip to Colorado with some of my friends. And if you have ever been there, you can assume that everyone's going to want you to hike while you're there. And so that's what my friend wanted us to do. And I was a little bit scared because I am not a hiking kind of person. And some people are thrilled whenever they find themselves in uncomfortable situations, but I am just not one of those people. I really like to be comfortable, but I'm not going to miss time with my friends, so I put on my Walmart Hokas and we went to hiking. And to be honest, it wasn't great. I thought it was fine. I mainly stared at my feet the whole way up, and to be clear, it was up, because I didn't want to trip or step on anything alive. I was a little spooked, and so we spent 2 hours hiking to the top, and we see some streams and some pretty trees, but I'm like, we got this in East Tennessee, it's fine. And at this moment, I'm panicking, because if you're like me, you're realizing that if we have spent 2 hours climbing up, it's going to take at least that much time to get back down. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough. But suddenly, there is a clearing, and it is beautiful. There's wildflowers all over the place, a waterfall, a little bridge. It kind of looks like The Sound of Music, and I'm not really into hiking, but I am into musicals. And so I was in. I thought, this is great. And so we crossed the bridge, and I was like, this is good. That was cute. What a great time we had hiking. To my confusion, we kept going up. We walked up these stone stairs kind of, and suddenly everything opens up. And at the top of the mountain, there is this lake, and there is just nothing that I can use to describe it. It is so incredibly beautiful. And in that moment, I realized why people hiked. I was like, oh, this makes sense. And have I hiked since then? No. I mean, don't be crazy. But it really was beautiful. And I loved being there. Because I love any time I get to be in a space where I just feel so small and God gets to feel so large. That's why any chance I get to go to a cathedral, I'm in. Because even though those are human-made, I think it is fascinating to look at every single corner of it and think about how it was intentionally crafted to admire the greatness of God, and yet it still falls short. I just love any human attempt at capturing the greatness of God. So whenever I read, I look up to the mountains, does my help come from there? It felt like an offering. It felt like, awesome. Yeah, like my help comes from the one who made this. But the writers of this kind of had a different thing in mind. So if you got to be with us last week in Townsend, Lindsay introduced to us these psalms that were written to go with the Israelites on their journey to Jerusalem. By the way, we had a lot of fun last week. We got to baptize 4 people, which was just so awesome. Yes, great claps, Luke. It was a great time. We only had a few tubers join our service. I was really hoping for like a tuber revival to happen, but it didn't, which was upsetting. But it really, really was fun. Lindsay talked about Psalm 123, which has a very similar feel to our psalm today because they're both called Psalms of Ascent. This means they're written for a journey up a mountain. The Israelites would make this journey to this holy place, and no matter which direction they approached Jerusalem from, they would be hiking up a mountain. And this was not an easy journey. It was something that they prepared for and worried about. So for the Israelites, these were songs to carry them through a hard and treacherous journey. It can be a battle cry or a prayer, whichever one you think you might need to get you through that journey, to remind them that wherever you go, God goes with you. And that is what it meant to them. But for us, to put it into our perspective, we've been classifying the Psalms into 3 groups. Orientation, psalms that understand the way that things have been ordered by God. Disorientation, ones of lament and loss and grief and questions. And reorientation, looking back on things and offering thanks and praise to God. As I was looking into the psalm this week, someone said that it was written by, seemed as if it was written by, someone who had experienced disorientation only to become reoriented. And I love this because I don't think you can really believe the psalm to be true without coming out the other side of some disorientation. In all honesty, this psalm is really, really tender for me. Last October, I heard this psalm and the Spirit told me to start praying it for my niece. My sister-in-law was pregnant and it was really, really scary and uncertain. She had a very long list of things that doctors had told her was wrong with her baby. And it was frightening for me, and so I can only imagine how heavy it all weighed on her. But as soon as I heard this psalm, it really gave me peace, knowing that God was not asleep and that his eyes weren't closed towards this baby and her mom's life. So I go home that night and write out the baby's name, Naomi, and Psalm 121 on a piece of paper, and I stick it to our mirror because I don't want to forget. Because honestly, I do forget a lot of things. And so often I forget the things I want to do in practice. And so I said, I am not going to forget. And so I stuck it up there, and I committed to praying this over her for the few weeks until she was born. The next day, after about 24 hours, the Spirit prompted for me to begin praying this psalm. My niece very dramatically came into the world. I think we have a slide of her tiny little self. She's so small. So it was unexpected and sudden, and they are 3 hours away from us here. And these are the times when you realize that you usually just don't know what to do unless you do, but we didn't. And we realized that we all are really just like living life for the first time. We didn't have any ability to change anything or do anything, and so we just prayed. And we asked our people to pray. I didn't have words of my own, but the psalm guided me, reminding me that God had not taken the day off, that his eyes were open and alert on Naomi's little life. If you have been close to or in a similar situation, I am very sorry. But you probably know what the next few weeks and months looked like. A lot of highs and lows, ups and downs. She would go home and then need to go back. The treatment that they thought was going to be working ended up being harmful, and then they would need to switch everything over. And so it was really crazy. And then finally, all of the doctors agreed that one thing would help her, and that was heart surgery. And so in January, when she was just a few months old, they took her into heart surgery. And this whole time, I couldn't stop thinking about how small she was and how fragile she was and how tiny of a heart this was and how risky it was. Thankfully, she came out healthier and stronger than she had ever been before. Naomi is now over 10 pounds. She's thriving, and we have her first birthday party date on the calendar. I think we have an updated picture. She's hanging in a grocery cart, if you can't tell. She's a very cool girl. Over and over again, I was reminded that the Lord does not rest on the important days of our life. verses 3 and 4 became so important to me because if I'm being honest with myself, I can believe that God is asleep or taking a day off. I've been reminded in these seasons where loss after loss is coming our way that he is not forgetful of us, that he is not letting us go. Naomi's story is still not over. We continue to pray for her health and for all the things to be healed that were not an emergency in the moment. We pray for her to hit milestones. We pray for all the things that you pray for babies. I have learned, though, that we cannot wait till the end of the story to celebrate God's goodness and faithfulness in it. Having the privilege of doing this job and walking with a lot of you reminds me of this, that all along, woven throughout each of our stories, God is knitting a more beautiful tapestry than we can know, and we just usually don't have the perspective to see it yet. When the Israelites were looking up at the mountain, they had no clue what lay ahead of them. They could prepare with stories that other people have told them or if they had done it before, but the journey was really unpredictable. And the psalm begins by asking where our help comes from, which is a question I think I should be asking more often, because I can very quickly assume where my help comes from without even really thinking about it. And it usually isn't where I want it to land. Like I said earlier, I can forget to actually practice my faith, especially when there's fear all around. And not just when there's a crisis in our own lives, but in a time of change at any level. There's a lot of, you know, I hang out with a lot of kids, and they're all starting at a school or a new school, and there's so much change in that. And though we know it's coming, it doesn't mean that it's any less scary. In our world, fear is much more prevalent than peace or hope. And when we stare at fear instead of looking towards Jesus, the things that we hope to become less foggy have no chance of becoming less murky. Looking towards Jesus in the midst of fear reminds me of our friend Peter. Something has always bugged me about the story of Peter walking on water in Matthew 14. To sum it up, Jesus was walking on water to join his friends in a boat. They all were a little scared, but Peter was like, I want to do that. And so he decided he was going to walk. Jesus said, come on. And so Peter was walking. The storm started picking up. He looked away, got scared, fell. And then Jesus asked him why he doubted. The lesson I've always taken from this story before is that when we look away from Jesus, we have lost our faith in him. And I don't love it. I don't think it's totally wrong, but I don't think it tells the full story. Thinking of any time I have been walking in an unsteady place, like literally walking in an unsteady place, of course I'm going to be looking to where I'm going. But if I start to feel like I'm going to tip over and fall, I'm absolutely going to be looking everywhere else to try to find somewhere to hold on to. I think that's what Peter was doing here. Before, I think I imagined him just kind of wanting to take in the scenery, and so he like made this big decision to look away from Jesus. But in reality, I think he was absolutely panicked. And in the end, that's what ended up hurting him. But I think there's something very like human and normal in all of us that will look for all of the guardrails in life. That when there is panic and fear, our instincts tell us to save ourselves, which is exactly what we can't do if we're Christians. Being a follower of Christ means that we admit and believe that we cannot be saved by ourselves, that we rely on the love and care of God. And I believe this, but I can forget. I can forget and rely on myself for safety. I can move into the false security of hiding, of hoping I can be still and quiet enough to ride out the storm. I can grasp onto having a really full calendar to just like fill my life with so many things that I don't have to pay attention to what's really going on. And maybe some of you do that too, and maybe you guys have another crutch. What I've learned is that none of these options are helpful, but so, so much easier to fall into. Looking towards Jesus instead of flailing into the first thing we think will hold us is something I would imagine takes practice. And I say imagine because I am not good at this. Like acrobats have to train to fall well, I think we have to train that part of ourselves as well. I don't think this means we are forcing ourselves to look away from all of the hard and the bad and just focus on the good and just put our blinders on. Even if Peter remains solely focused on Jesus while walking, that does not mean that the storms raging around him would become less true. Where we put our focus does not erase the truth of loss and heartbreak or illness. So where does that leave us? Matthew 6 in the Message puts it like this. Instead of fussing and worrying, steep your life in God reality, God provision, and God initiative. How I look at this is not living in an unrealistic space and just blocking out the terrible things of the world and willing ourselves to focus on the good. I don't think that strategy has ever once helped anyone, ever. If you've been through like a tragedy, especially like here in the South, you know that specifically Christians will say some wild things in hopes of putting like a really joyful Jesus spin on it. And I don't think that's the God reality we're being invited into. Instead, joining into God's reality is one that is more true than anything else in the world. It is one that deeply grieves alongside us. It is one that is heartbroken. It's one that believes in miracles. It's one that is willing to find joy in every situation. It is one that is on constant mission to make the world better, to heal the brokenness, not to forget about it, but because of it. The reality of God is really hard for us to wrap our heads around. I don't think I ever will, but I think I have to try. The more often I find myself looking towards him, the more I'm able to see. The further my head can come above the clouds, and the easier it is to come up for air. As my friends and I were on this mountain and we started our journey back from the top of the mountain, it started to storm. And apparently everyone else in the world had looked at the weather for that day, and so we were the only ones on the trail. With no cell service, we were just counting how long between the lightning and the thunder. And actually, I was very surprised it took us way less time to get back down than it went to go up because we were all running. We were booking it because we were like, we don't know what's coming. Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? Who knows? And so as I was running, I found that I was no longer looking at the ground. I was looking up. I was looking around. And still fearful, I knew that my best option was to look forward. And I was noticing things. Suddenly I could see all these things I missed before. Because I think when we understand where our help comes from, we can find strength and beauty in our fear. Looking forward, I got to miss the things I saw on the way up. I got to revisit the beauty that was around me all along, but I was just really concerned about if I was going to make it. I wonder how my viewpoint in life might shift and change if I responded by moving forward while looking towards God instead of taking things inch by inch and just making sure that I never fall. Each Sunday, we take a time for Selah. This is a time that we like to sit and be present. A time of quiet and reflection. So you can use it however you would like. But on the screen, I'm going to have the story of Peter walking on the water. If you want to read along and put yourself in the story, that would be awesome. You can be Peter, you can be Jesus, you can be a disciple, you can be a boat that was way far out, but you're watching the whole thing happen. I want you to think through the emotions of your character in this story. Would it be easy to believe what you were seeing, or really hard? What do you hear and feel around you? What does it mean to continue looking towards Jesus even when everything is telling you to look away? And what does it mean as Jesus to invite a friend to perform a miracle alongside you? I'm going to read through the psalm one last time, and then we're going to move into Selah together. And I'll pray. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you that the middle of our story is not the end of our story, but I am thankful nonetheless that we get to celebrate. I ask in this room today that you will help us take a step back and take a breath and move slower and hopefully be able to see what you're doing in the midst of all of it. So thank you. Amen.